Shalom. We're in Aya, Rav Cook's commentary on the Agadata, on Masechet Shabbat, chapter 2. We're in the middle of Piska Zayin, the seventh Siman, which we began last time. We won't go through the whole review, just let's go through the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, we're talking about Chanukah. Mitzvat Chanukah ner ish ubeito. The minimum obligation of Chanukah candles is to light one candle per family. Vamadrin, and those who want to do extra, ner l'kol echad ve'echad, they light a candle for each member of the family. Vamadrin mina madrin, those who want to do even better, two opinions. Beit Shammai yomrim yom rishon madlik shmone mikan v'olech pochet v'olech. Beit Shammai says you the first night you light 8, then go down 7, 6, etc. Beit Hillel omrim yom rishon madlik echad mikan v'olech mosif v'olech. Beit Hillel says first night 1 candle, afterwards 2, 3, 4, until you get it to 8. Amar Ula, pligi batrei amoraim ma'arava. Two amoraim, rabbis wrote the Gemara, they had a difference of opinion in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida. Chad amar time of the Beit Shammai, one said that Beit Shammai's logic, why do you go 8, 7, 6, why do you count down? Keneged yamim anichnasim, according to the days that you have left. Until on the 8th day, 1 day left. V'time of the Beit Hillel, keneged yamim ayotzim. Now, Beit Hillel counts how many more days we have to go forward to. That we start with 1, counting till 8. V'chad amar time of the Beit Shammai, keneged parei hachag. Others say, Beit Shammai says, and we spoke about this last week, that in Sefer HaMakabim, that year, the Am Yisrael couldn't celebrate Chag HaChanukah, Sukkot, and that's why they celebrated Chanukah 8 days, and that is the connection why Beit Shammai says, just like the Korbanot on Chag HaSukkot, you count down from 13, 12, 11, you count down, so to on Chanukah. V'time de Beit Hillel, and according to this, why does Beit Hillel count up? D'malin b'kodesh ve'in moridin. Because this is the way of Judaism, always evolution, perfection. That's trial and error. The world is constantly evolving and perfecting, going up. Okay, and then afterwards we'll revisit again. Okay, yeah?
Is there enough community to this debate?
You're asking today that the halacha is like Beit Hillel?
No.
Where there used to be.
No. Not who is the halacha by, but what difference does it make with the reasoning?
Ah.
Other than, you know, other than to give Rav Cook something to comment on, is there a...
Not that I can think
and
of.
Is there any deeper perush of the first one than, in other words, what's the significance of... The days you've already had versus the days that are coming. As opposed to the second.
Rav Cook's commentary really applies to both commentaries. In other words, is a general direction: do we look up or do we look down? And it's really equally applicable to both explanations. Okay, just a very quick review of what we did last week. Rav Cook talks about how the point of machloket between the Maccabees and the Greeks evolved around the issue of tzniut and the Jewish family and family purity. And that's why we have this out of the ordinary chovah that we don't find in any other mitzvah of ner ishu beito, where the obligation isn't on the person and it's not on the community and it's not on the house like mezuzah, but it's on the family. And there is no other halacha like that. And Rav Kuki beautifully, uniquely explains that's why the idea of ner ishu beito comes from that lichatchila, if a man isn't home, it's better that his wife lights on time for him, or his bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, child lights in the home. Why? And why does the halacha talk about mezuzah, miyamin, chanukiyah, mismol? What's the idea? Because the Greeks, their gezerot, their decrees, were all against the Jewish family. And if you remember, we saw, I brought from Otzar HaMidrashim, where he brings that the three gzerot to the Greeks were first that you're not allowed to have a, Jews weren't allowed to lock their door at night. They couldn't live a normal family life. Afterwards, he saw it didn't work, so he forbade going to the mikveh. And he saw that didn't work. And then he took kol kala tibael la hegmon. The Gemara at the beginning of Ketuvot, that's mentioned. The first two, gzerot, are not mentioned in any midrash except for there. It's very interesting. But the common denominator is that they had it in for the Jewish family. That was the idea also, the beautiful Greek body and the Olympics and nude, etc., etc.
And Brit Mila also.
And Brit Mila, right? And this is where the Chovah, Rav Kook beautifully explains, Ner Ishu Beito, that the family, there is, the Jewish family was victorious over the Greek Hefkerut. How do you say Hefkerut?
Wantonness?
I guess. Well, I'll take your word for it. Anarchy, sexual anarchy. And
absolute liberty.
Libertinism.
And afterwards, we saw that the higher level is a candle for everyone, where that the individual Jew, as opposed to the average Jew, he knows the value of the Jewish family. Those who are even on a higher level, they reveal the godly light, the Torah ideals, through the life of each individual. And that's the idea of adding a candle for each individual of the house. And Mahadrin mina Mahadrin is not only to deal with the individual, right? But it is to go and add light, or according to Beit Shammai, to go down the light, and that's what we're talking about now. What are the two differences of opinions of the ideal of adding light to the entire world, not just as the individual? That's the second level, but the highest level is to add light to the entire world, as much light as possible. And this is where we got up to. Okay, so we're in the fourth paragraph. Ich umnam. See on the left hand side. Echom nam sheyorer nes Chanukah et libot anshei kodesh lavo al yado lechefzama na'ala. But how can this, the miracle of Chanukah, awaken in the hearts of the holy people to get to that goal of adding light to the world? Yeshnam shnei drachim klalim shehim mitchalkim kol echad l'shnei orchot pratim. There are two different approaches. And now we're going to see how Rav Kook explains the machloka between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Yesh ish gadol shemistakel ba'ayin choderet b'chifetz Hashem ba'olamo. There are great people. There is a great, Rav Kook writes on the singular, there are some people who are great, that they look at the goal of what God wants in the world. ומתוך שהוא מכיר כי אדון כל הנשמות יתברך יצר את האדם בכללו, בצלמו, ואת כל ברואי בצלם אלוקים. This is the more universal approach. Those who don't just look at the Jewish nation, but they look at mankind in general. That's the final goal. הלו ודאי ברא להיטיב להם באחריתם. If God created all people and all creation, then obviously God wants it to be good for all of them.
That's Pariachag, that's connected to Shibi Yimot.
Yeah, this is talking about the Beit Shammai's opinion of going down. I'll explain. Right, and that you already, once Yeshua raised it, this is the idea that
we'll get there.
Once you mention it, we'll mention it in a nutshell. The idea of the 70 cows that we sacrifice on Sukkot, that's how Beit Shammai counts to 13, 12, 11. Chazal explained that those numbers which are going down, which Beit Shammai is connecting with Chanukah, that is the universal aspect of the Shivim, but it comes out to 70. And Chazal tell us that there are 70 nations of the world. Those are the 70 nations which are counted at the end of Parshat Noach, after the world was separated to 70 languages, 70 nations. That's the idea.
There's another thing about the universalism, that the Parei Achag don't go all the way down.
Yeah. Okay. Sheet alu me omek harasha me vasichlut shemakafatam ad shiu ruuyim kulam lema'alat ha-tzadikim ha-mitangim al Hashem va'al tuvo. That the way of the world is evolution. We learned this in depth in Orot HaTshuva. That the entire world, even the world, even the Gentiles who do not learn Torah, they don't have 613 mitzvot, and to a large extent, they're down in the depths of living a life of relative shallowness. Eventually, they will rise, and that is the dream of the Torah, to bring light to all of mankind. This is the universal ideal. Omnam. Hechina Hashem Yitbarach et Yisrael liyot mikablei or Elohi ba'olam. Even this universal approach realizes that in the meantime, the emtza'i, the way to get there, is through the nation of Israel. Right? The Or LaGoyim, that's our topic, the light. The light unto the nations, as Yeshayahu 42, 49. Avarak az tigamer hatachlit hamisamachat et levav kol yishrelev. In the end, always we have to have our eye on the goal. Just like if you remember when we learned Chazon HaTzimchonut, that even though vegetarianism is not the ideal today, and the Torah doesn't, always keep your eye on the goal. The same thing, that even when we're living in a time where the role of Am Yisrael is so important, and the difference between Israel and the nations is a lot greater than it will be in the future, in the days of the Mashiach, nevertheless, always remember that the way, even in the time of the universalism, there is a role for the Jewish people. That's how we're going to get there.
Keshetigamera tachlit al yedei Yisrael, lizakot et kol ba'e olam bo'or Hashem v'chayim kedoshim.
That's the goal.
Mitzad haderech hazeh, tiyah hanetiyah hapnimit hamachrat et lev yishrei derech, lalechet b'derech Hashem al pi haTorah, lo rak mipnei shi goremet lavi tova li Yisrael biyichud.
According to this more universal approach, the goal is not just to bring goodness to the nation of Israel.
Ki im mipnei asiba hayoter achrona v'naora.
Let's look ahead to the higher level, the more enlightened goal.
Mipnei she tovatan shel Yisrael atida lavi tova l'enoshiyut kula.
That the important role of Israel is really as a means to help all of mankind. Or in the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he starts Am Yisrael to Avram, he says, go to your land, lech lecha mi'aretzecha me'lodcha me'etav el ha'aretz asherecha, ve'eschal le'goy gadol, I will make you into a great nation, v'nivrechu v'cha kol mishpachot ha'adama. All of the nations of the world will benefit from your nationalism, from the Jewish nation.
נטייה כזאת, כשהיא חזקה בלב, תוכל להחזיק נטייה שהיא מייחדת את תכלית המעשים התוריים מפני טובתן הכללית של ישראל לנטייה בלתי עליונה, כל צורכה.
Right? This approach says that even in the meantime, to over-concentrate on the importance of the Jewish nation can sometimes take us off balance. In other words, you have to keep your eye on the universal goal even before we get there. Okay? And don't overstress the importance of Jewish nationalism.
שצריכה להתרומם עוד יותר ולהתעלות על הנטייה של אהבת ישראל המיוחדת.
Of course, there is an obligation for a special love for the nation of Israel, אהבת ישראל, loving each and every Jew, loving the Jewish nation and anything that has to deal with the Jewish nation. Nevertheless, that is not the goal, according to this opinion.
Le'ish kazeh lo tuchal liyot ahava le'umit mekor chayav.
He can't mistapek. It's not enough for him the limiting of the Jewish nation.
He's thinking beyond. Ki imavat shem Hashem v'torato. He is thinking about the name of God, the Torah of God, which will eventually be accepted and will light for all of mankind. Mipnei she'betorah yimatzeh ha'tachlit ha'achrona hazo, she'kol kach rama, ad she'ta'ava le'umit yikach le'emtza'i lo le'megamato ha'romema. This idea of bringing truth and godly light to all of mankind is so great, and that gives Israel, the nation of Israel, its importance. This is the first approach. V'yesh omnam derech acher. On the other hand, there is another way. And this is the dialect that we're already familiar with. We see on just about every topic, Rav Kook shows one side, on the other hand, on the other hand, on the other hand, together with this. And in the end, it's always a harmonized synthesis. A thesis, antithesis, synthesis. V'yesh omnam derech acher. There's the other way. She'yehegel levav ha'ish ha'na'ala le'mor. Ki emet ha'davar. Another, no less great person, no less great approach, will see that the truth is she'ava atzmit enana ne'uta le'omek ha'yoter na'ala. Gam im tiyeh mitrachevet ad kedei la'ava shel klal ha'oma. Aval halo et ha'tov ra'oi le'ehov mitzad atzmo. The second approach is not to love the nation of Israel a selfish love or an egoistic love, but it is a love for the epitome of the good as it is now. The nation of Israel is the greatest revelation of godliness and goodliness, and as there's a famous piska, we learned it a couple years ago in Orot. So remember where Rav Kook talks about, like we say in Lecha Dodi, Ve'et Hashem Ta'aritzi. We should idolize God. And he says that we have to be very careful not to idolize people. No Hasidic Rebbe, no Rosh Hashiva, no matter how great they are, is perfect. And that's why the best approach is to idolize Am Yisrael. Because when you idolize the nation of Israel, and you have also this Rebbe, and this Rebbe, and this Rebbe, and this Misnagid, and this Rosh Hashiva, and you get the good of all of it together, then that's what it means to idolize God, to idolize everything, and not just a certain sect or a certain person. So too, here Rav Kook says there are those who see the ultimate goodness as it appears in the nation of Israel. Being that Israel has in it the essence, the godly essence, whether it be as it's expressed in Jewish history, as it's expressed in prophecy, right, or through the righteousness, the unity. Al imkein vaday hema muchanim lishtalem ad lemida zo shechayehem ruuyim liyot chemdat kol ish mesharim. Lo mitzad ahava ha'atzmit shel adam karov etzel atzmo, ki mitzad etzem ha'emet v'ayosher. Notice Rav Kook is saying that even those who center on the love of Israel, not just as a means to a higher goal, but that the focus on them is a goal unto itself, he stresses, we're not talking about a selfish, childish, egoistical, patriotic, racist love, as is very often found in the nations of the world. That patriotism usually overlaps with racism, right? In Am Yisrael, that's not the case. Imken zgulatan shel Yisrael ru'uya liyot ha'merkaz shel kol ha'chayim ha'ruchaniyim. The specialness of Israel is deserving to be the center of spiritual life of mankind. Va'al zeh ra'uy livnot tachlit ha'Torah kula. And that's why the Torah centers around the nation of Israel. And it's worded around the nations of Israel. And the mitzvot ben adam l'chavero are only towards Jews. And we're supposed to be, the reader of the Torah is supposed to be a Jew living in the land of Israel, among the nation of Israel, in the state of Israel. וממילא יש מקום בלב המורגש הפשוט של אהבה הלאומית.
Inevitably, we understand those, these, the second approach, which invests a lot of time and effort and concentrates on the love of the nation of Israel, the national love.
לשום אותם לתכונה נאותה בהליכות התורה.
And this we see also in the ways of the Torah, that stress the importance of speaking the national language and living in the national land and serving in the national army.
כיוון שגם על פי עומק הצדק האלוהי תישאר התכלית האחרונה מגמתם של ישראל.
That even in the end of days, even in the end of days, Israel is going to always have a unique role, which we're going to talk about in the next paragraph. What exactly is that unique role? Because if we're going in the direction of universalism and folding up the flags, so what's supposed to be the unique role of this Jewish nation?
Okay, we'll talk about that soon. מפני שהמטרה האחרונה איננה ראויה להיות לפי כמות החיים, כי אם לפי איכותם.
This approach does not look at the quantity, but at the quality. And according to this approach, you already hear here, now he's talking about Beit Hillel. There's nothing wrong with starting out with one candle, because we're not talking here, when we're talking about the nation of Israel, we're not talking about the 70 nations of the world. We're talking about the one and only. And that one and only nation of Israel has importance on the first night as one candle, and there's nothing wrong with that. And it's going to grow from there on, as we'll see.
והאיכות הנפלאה תישאר נחלת ישראל לעד, מבחירה האלוהית וסגולתם.
And the quality, not the quantity, the quality of Israel is going to stay in its specialness forever.
והנה, לעומת התכלית שיש במגמתם של ישראל, לחזות בתיקון עולם במלכות שדי, ובעשות כל הברואים אגודה אחת, לחיי צדק באור השם.
Right, when we're talking about fixing the world in the godly kingdom, all of the nations of the world will go according to the justice, the righteousness of the godly light.
מובן הדבר, כי ריבוי הצביונות שבלאומים שגורם חלוקתם לעמים רבים, ילכו הלוך והתמעט.
Nationalism is going to little by little go down.
He's saying that Beit Shammai, who is taking the more universal approach,
the Shivim Pare, the 70 cows of Chag HaSukkot, that approach is going to go down. And in Yemot HaMashiach, like we said before, there are not going to be any flags. There are not going to be different nations. Or there's a Piska Norot also we learned 2-3 years ago. Re'uyim ha'olam le'etached kemishpacha achat. The world is going to be one family. And it's going to speak one language. And this is the idea of the globalism, the universalism, and as opposed to the nationalism, which is going to go down little by little. And this approach, even regarding the nation of Israel, as we saw in the previous paragraph, also, even in the present, sort of limits the importance of the nation of Israel. How much more so the other nations of the world, that the nationalism in Israel is a means. Okay, so in the future where this approach keeps the eye always on universalism, so we're going to fold up the national flags. That's, you know, in the European, obviously the European Union has ups and downs, as every marriage does. But that is the, it's interesting, Rav Kook, I don't remember, might have mentioned it once, in Zichron HaRe'iyah, he writes that one of the positive outcomes of World War I was the gushim, the working together as blocks of nations to fight against evil. Now, World War II was even more clear, that the nations, many nations of the world, the Allies, blocked together to fight against evil. Rav Kook says that war is not good, but this unity, international unity, is the beginning of the sign of Yemot HaMashiach. that nations, afterwards the League of Nations, afterwards the United Nations after World War II, that nations sit down and talk about their problems. That's the beginning of Lo Yisa Goy El Goy Cherev, Lo Yimadu Od Milchama.
So the alliances in World War I is different, for instance, than the alliances against Napoleon?
He doesn't talk about it.
Strange, because the alliances...
To America, I know America. Yeah, but America wasn't involved, and you didn't have Japan involved. World War One, you had a lot of countries, a lot more than ever before. World War Two, even more.
Yeah. Certainly, there was no Japan in World War One.
Sorry?
There was no Japan in World War One.
As far as I know, no. Yeah.
No, so I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. So the war.
All we have is Rav Kook's perspective. He had to see something different in World War One.
Yeah.
That had been previously.
Yeah, and World War. That's what I said. World War Two was even more.
Right.
Yeah.
But he wasn't talking about World War One. Right? Okay. That's why I asked
the question. One of the major things of World War One, and Rav Kook certainly saw that, is the hashkacha of Eretz Yisrael being transferred from the Turkish Empire to the British Mandate and the right. Balfour Declaration.
Right, that's in addition. Okay. Anyway, Yalchu Alechu Mitmaet, Kol Ma SheYosif Or HaEmet V'Chayei HaTzedek Lofia. The more light and truth and justice is going to shine in the world, there is going to be less and less nationalism. The more the nations become, identify with, learn about the morality of the godly Torah, they inevitably will stress less the differences among them. By the way, in the I think we learned once the Drashat HaDegel, which is the greatest mitzvah that I found to this day in Rav Kook's archives, where it's the first and only place that he relates to the flag of Israel. In that drasha, he talks about the flags of the nations of the world. And he's addressing Lord Plummer, who was the governor of the British in Israel, who was there. He's also addressing him. And he's saying that the flags of all the nations are very good and very important. And there had to be this stage of flags, of languages, in order l'shachlil, to perfect each and every gvan, each and every shade, each and every ideology in unto itself. If you remember, Baruch Hashem, we've learned a lot over the years, about 3 years ago, we learned the Piska Olat Re'iya, where Rav Kook talks about Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. And we saw there the Piska Orot HaKodesh called Erech HaNigudim, where Rav Kook gives the example that when you plant an orchard, you have to plant the trees a lot of meters away from each other in order that each tree gets enough sunlight, has enough minerals, doesn't steal water and food from each other, in order to have them grow so that in the end, they meet at the top. But you need in the initial stage, space. And the same thing with individuals. You don't get married at the age of 5. First, the individual has to build himself, find his talents. What's called in the Zohar, Rav Kook mentions it, it's called Shari Be Piruda V'Siem Be Ichuda. That the way of the world is to begin with distance, and eventually, as you develop, you eventually will see the unity. Okay, but you need that distance in order to develop each and every ideal. This is the ideal also of Likut Nitzotzot, of gathering the sparks of Kibbutz Galiot. That the Jews who were in Germany, they learned the orderliness from the Yekkes, and they bring that with them on Aliyah to bring into Am Yisrael. The Moroccans bring the warmth or the emotion of the Arabic culture, and they bring that with them on Aliyah. And the English bring the manners. And the Yemenites bring the fineness, and everyone brings their sparks on Aliyah. But there needed to be that time of separation, of separating. It's interesting, Rav Kook's Rebbe, the Netziv, in his commentary on Dura Plaga, at the end of Parshat Noach, he writes exactly this idea, and apparently that's where Rav Kook, those are the seeds where Rav Kook got it from. The Netziv writes in his commentary on Megdavar, on the Pasuk, that Kol Ha'olam Safa Achatu Dvarim Achadim, that the whole world was one ideology. There was not a partnership, not a puzzle, a psifas, a mosaic, but it was like the Soviet Union. Everyone had to fit in. And that's how the Netziv explains, why did they build the Migdal, the tower? Big Brother is watching you. And to make sure that nobody left the groove, nobody left the box. And anybody who wanted to leave, they saw him leave, they brought him back, they sent him to Siberia or whatever. And
also a few words, it's an inarticulate culture.
And there are a lot of explanations, but that's the explanation of the Netziv. And so what was the punishment? God doesn't just do punishments, it's always an educational punishment. God split them up because he does not want people to be identical. People, the individual, the uniqueness of the individual, the special tzelem Elokim that each individual has, the special unique spark of God that every person has, for we spoke about Elokei Avraham, who's a little different than Elokei Yitzchak, who's a little different than Elokei Yaakov. Because the neshama, the spark of God of Avram and of each individual here is unique. So we don't want, it's like the difference between taking all of the vegetables and throwing them into a blender and you just come out with a mush. That was the problem of the identicalness. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the other extreme, split up the nations of the world, and as Rav Kook writes there in the Drasha of the Degel, there had to be a long, about 5,000 year period, of nationalism, where the idea of nationalism is to develop the uniqueness of each ideology, of each nation, to separate them and let each one develop themselves. Unfortunately, so that's the idea of the salad. All right, the salad, not the soup. So, unfortunately, and Rav Kook writes this in Midbar Shur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew very well that together with nationalism and the advantages of it, maybe we'll also mention the advantage of altruism, right? That also we spoke about a couple years ago when we learned Orot, that nationalism brings a person out of his self-centeredness. Give to the nation, give to the community, give to the family, even give your life, if need be, to rise out of your self-centeredness. That's part of the maturity of mankind, whereas children only think about themselves. Nationalism was a step in the direction of giving, of altruism. What's the problem? If so, nationalism is good. Problem is, nations are egocentric compared to universalism. Whereas nationalism is altruistic compared to the individual and the family. But it's egocentric compared to mankind. We needed that time period because, and by the way, in day-to-day life, you don't deal with people on the other side of the world. And that's why nationalism is something which is important in day-to-day life. Also in the world of universalism, you're always going to have a person standing next to you in the bank and have a closer connection or day-to-day interaction with him as opposed to the person living on the other side of the world. Now, it doesn't make a difference in the time of globalism. And it's already happening. We're having all the different colors. You have Chinese living in America and blacks living here, and everyone's living all the different colors and all the different races
are
on Facebook.
And right? when you say something, you have to think about, you know, how it's going to be received by somebody who's very different from you.
Right. That idea of political correctness is a very important advance in the world brotherhood. Okay. On the other hand, what Rav Kook is saying, there is a time, and ironically, we're living in that time,
where the it's time to fold up the flags, and that mankind is mature enough to realize the problems of nationalism that it brings to war, it brings to jealousy, it brings to my economy is more important than your economy, I have the oil, you don't, I want the oil, right? And that's a problem, okay? So Rav Kook is saying the more light there is in the world, the less nationalism there's going to be.
Does that suggest that the Israeli left is sort of ahead of the time? They're the ones saying, well, let's fold up the flag now. And because they're ready to fold up the flag before anyone else is.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's we mentioned once the famous Jewish comedian Sammy Levinson once said, the Jews are like everyone else, just more. And the same thing when it comes to the left, the same thing when it comes to the right, same thing when it comes to everything. And
serious point is that, like, you know, it's right that there's the time to fall off the flights, but you know, you go first. I hope, you know.
And the main problem is that the only flag that in the end isn't going to be folded up is the flag of Israel. There's an interesting midrash which says exactly that. I couldn't believe it when I saw it the first time. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Dgalim rabim la'umot ha'olam ve'ein chaviv alai el adegel Yisrael. It says, there are a lot of flags of the nations of the world, but the only flag that I love, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the flag of Israel.
Doesn't mean it's not going to be pulled up.
It might be temporarily. Rav Kook writes about that. There's a machlok in Masechet Sukkah Nun Bet whether Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be killed or not. And Rav Kook says actually that it all depends on if Jewish nationalism becomes corrupt. And he's worried about the opposite problem. Not too much leftist, but too much rightist. That we start hating other people and we get too egocentric. And if so, that is the nationalism which is also good to fold up. I don't see the nation of Israel going in that way. Although what's happening in Beitar Yerushalayim is something which really should trouble us, especially kids. Kids don't know the difference between racism and hating the enemy. Right? They don't know the difference between, you know, bringing a couple of Muslim soccer players from Chechnya. You know, why shouldn't I boo them? They're Muslim. You know, that's racism. That's mamash wrong. You have to explain to them, well, how would you feel if they would boo Jews just because he's a Jewish basketball player? Right? That's obviously bad. On the other hand, these are complex questions. You know, in the world of black and white, there's always going to be that danger, especially among the younger people. Okay? But as they get older, we should try and help them understand that Jewish nationalism, in its essence, is always going to be universal.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's go on. Alkin. Oh, wow. Do we start late?
Not especially, but it's a long piece of time.
Yeah. Let's go on a little more. Alken, Baharemez, Yom Rishon Madlik Shmone, Mikan Ve'elech Pochet Volech. This is the opinion of Beit Shammai. 8 going down. This is the universal approach, again, of the 70 bulls of Sukkot that go down, is parallel to the universalism, the nationalism of the nations of the world, which should go down. Habgisha hayevanit vanitzachon shel Yisrael, shnehem garmu letuuda Yisraelit biyachas amei haaretz, shetatchil laasod darka biyoter ometz, ad sheraui lekasher et hamegama yoter achrona veyoter rama b'ner Chanukah.
I think we'll
stop here. I know in Beit El they don't like.